Please be seated. We're going through the I Am sayings of Jesus, and tonight we're going to look at John chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." Now, arguably, this was the most outrageous declaration Jesus certainly made of all the I Am passages, and perhaps even in the whole of his life. In fact, if you go back to John 8 and you read, immediately as Jesus finished saying these words, those who were listening to him, his critics, his enemies, they immediately reached down to pick up rocks to stone him to death because they recognized the implications of what he was saying. And I want to just look at that very quickly tonight. Just three very simple things that Jesus said as we work through that passage. And the first one is simply this, truly, truly. Now, I think that probably sounds a little bit strange to most of us. But if you were a Jew in those days, you knew those were technical words that were making a statement of absolute validation. It's what a judge would do. They listened to both sides, all the argument, looked at all the evidence. And then at the end of that, they would stand up and say, "I'm now going to give my judgment." And Jesus starts off this statement by declaring to them verbally, "I'm going to give you a statement of validation." And yet, actually, Jesus is even making a greater claim at this point. He's escalating the whole situation. Because in the context, it's obvious that what he's making is an unqualified divine statement of validation. He's not just making a human statement, but he's making something that goes beyond everyone else. If I put it this way, all of God's words are written in gold because they're so special. But Jesus here by these words is saying, look, what I'm about to tell you, this is in maximum size font. It's in a gold that stands out from all the rest of the gold, emblazoned across eternity as an unchallengeable and unchangeable truth. So listen up. This is something that defines everything. And the significance of his words was the very point that Jesus says, "I'm about to make a true statement that's unchallengeable." I know how it is in our day. A lot of people say, you know, I hear what you're saying. That's true for you, but it's not true for me. And by that, what they mean is, look, truth is subjective. You know, I'll listen to you. And if I think it's reasonable and I agree with it and in my heart it feels right, then I'll accept it. Jesus is saying, look, I'm about to tell you something that trumps all personal truth claims. It's a truth that defines every other truth in the whole universe. So he goes on to say it, and he begins with, first of all, saying, before Abraham was. Now, if you followed the passage a few verses earlier, Jesus said that Abraham had directly seen Jesus, and he had seen him and rejoiced. Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. And the reality was Abraham lived some 2,000 years before Jesus spoke these words. So his critics automatically just turn back and say, look, you're not even 50 yet and you've seen Abraham. And they challenge him for those very statements. But Jesus, he actually, when he qualifies and responds, he escalates it up beyond just a simple physical reality. And he uses it to make a declaration about his very existence. He's saying that, in truth, before Abraham was even a twinkle in his father's eye, I already existed. And yet, really, in one sense, he's saying, look, I've existed eternally, always, and forever. I pre-existed Abraham. I pre-existed time. I pre-existed the very universe you live in. I've always been. John sort of catches that and summarizes at the beginning of his gospel in John chapter 1, verse 1. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And John there deliberately steals the first three words out of the first book of the Bible, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning. And he takes them into his gospel and he said, look, I want to tell you the same thing's happening here, but I want to identify who was there. In the beginning was the Word. Later on, he tells us in verse 14 of chapter 1, it's Jesus. And Jesus is saying, in effect, he's saying that I'm the one who has coexisted with God the Father through all eternity. I've always and forever been. But you know, however staggering those words and that thought is, Jesus in the next two words makes such an outrageous declaration that either you have to fully accept it in submission to what he says, or you have to utterly reject it. You are left no other category than simply that. He says, I am. He takes, as a direct quote, the words that God gives to Moses in Exodus 3:14 as God's own personal name. I am who I am. To the Jews, Yahweh. Or the English transliteration, Jehovah. And Jesus says, I am. I'm the one who spoke to Moses at the very back there at the very beginning before I created the whole Jewish nation. I'm the self-existent, I'm the self-defining, uncreated creator who was there at the burning bush. And in one sense, he's almost saying, whenever we come before Jesus and looking face to face, there's almost a sense we're on the same ground Abraham was when he fell because it was holy ground. Jesus is saying, I am that very same one. I want you to just take a moment to let that thought and those implications just rest on you for a moment. We're going to come here in a few minutes. We're going to pray. And when we come and we pray before Jesus, we're coming and we are praying before the one who has unqualified, uncontainable, unending, unbounded, unlimited authority and control. That's the one who we're coming to. The I am who has created all things. And you know, a little bit later, we're going to be commissioning you, Joe. And, you know, the wonder is that this same Jesus is the one who called you to service. This is the same Jesus who's going to stand behind you and empower you for service amongst us. And the same Jesus is going to use you with all your abilities to do the impossible as he blesses it. That's the Jesus we're coming to tonight. Now, let me just apply that to prayer because we're going to come and pray in a minute. And I think it just helps us with two dangers I think a lot of us fall into, but myself particularly, when we come to prayer. And that's simply this. Don't make Jesus too small in your prayers tonight. You know, one of the wonders these past decades is we've recovered the reality that Jesus wants to intimately, closely be drawn alongside to us in our lives, a brother, a friend. But we need to also recognize this. Jesus is never just a friend. Jesus is never just a brother. Jesus is never just a comforter in the middle of our trials. Jesus is more than that. Jesus we come to tonight and pray to is the God who does whatever he wants. And we need to come and recognize that. The other thing is simply this, is don't make God too fuzzy tonight. Don't think tonight as we come and we pray, don't think God is ever limited by our situations. Don't ever think that God's limited by our day. Don't ever think that God is limited because of our problems. We come before tonight the God who is uncontrolled, unqualified over all things. As the psalmist says, our God is in heaven and does whatever he wants. Is the God that we come to tonight safe? Never. No way. He's not safe at all. But he's good. And he invites us by his grace to come and to make our requests known to him. What a wonderful God we have.